Hi, I'm Mario Guerra, the two-time former mayor of the great city of Downey, and you're listening, you're watching Talking Downey with Mario Guerra. Hey folks, thanks for watching, thanks for listening. We have a very, very special guest with us today. We have former mayor and current councilwoman Claudia Frometta here on our studio. Welcome. It's great to see you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mario. Thank you for having me today.
Well, we appreciate everything you're doing on there. We've had tons of conversations over the years. Claudia has been serving our city now for 6.5 years. And I'll tell you, sometimes I'm not quite sure what we would have done without you. So we're great to have you here. So, so let's start up with current topics on there. Tell us a little bit about what's been going on in the city, and especially if you had a big council meeting on Tuesday night. Tell us a little bit about that, and what did you guys finally approve?
Thank you, Mario, and thank you for having me once again. We had a really interesting council meeting. I think with this particular political climate on immigration and immigration enforcement, uh-huh. Local governments, local municipalities are really feeling the crunch and the pressure because federal law states that if you are in this country illegally or undocumented, right. You will be deported. Yeah. you have broken the law, and you will have to be sent back. And unfortunately for us here in Downey, we are caught in wanting to help our immigrant community, sure. Particularly all of Downey residents, of course, right. But also wanting to make sure that we follow law and order. And Tuesday's council meeting revolved around various steps. One of them was giving some monies, allocating some monies to individuals that have been detained. We don't know how many. Those figures are not released to us. But we also wanted to have a resolution that indicates Downey wants to comply and wants to make sure that we are following the law while also addressing the concerns that our community has in terms of ICE coming into the city in conducting those raids. Right. And then lastly, this ordinance that was brought forth regarding facial coverings for law enforcement agents. And that is, unfortunately, we are not allowed to enforce that.
The police chief said it when you guys questioned him on there. He says if we'd show up and they were covering up and there's nothing we could do to them. And I think the question came up, too, about could it hinder Downey PD and undercover things when they go? And the answer was yes. So I think it's a big brush, broad brush stroke on there that would happen on there. One thing I was really, I'm glad that you asked, how many does this impact? If you want us to give money to, various people, which you're not unempathetic about but how many is it? I heard a couple of speakers that talked on there somewhere between 20 or 30. Somebody said 20 on there, which, if one person that didn't deserve to be rounded up on there, that's one too many. But when you look at it, is we don't also know enough. I mean, listen, I'm going to come across as, not human. I'm a deacon, I'm Christian and so forth. And of course we have empathy for everybody. This is terrible. It's breaking them up from their families on there. But we don't know what the original warrant was for. It's not just because they were here illegally, but you ask a great question. How many are there? And I heard the number 20. What are your thoughts on that?
Mario, I'm a facts and figures individual. Yeah. And I think that we have been hearing a lot and seeing a lot, the proliferation of social media, certainly television and the media playing over and over. Here in our city, the city of Downey, have we seen hundreds of people being round up? Yeah. Are we seeing... No, we have not. Yeah. And to that, and it doesn't mean that we don't have empathy, right. And it doesn't mean that we don't want to help families that have been impacted in some way, shape, or form, or children that are caught in the middle of this. But we have to look at facts, and we have to see who has been impacted and how many. If we are elected to protect also the taxpayers' dollars and allocate those very carefully, right. We want to know how many in our city before we throw out numbers, thousands and thousands of dollars to provide aid that.
Yeah.
Where is it going,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I think, I know that immigration is an emotionally charged issue.
It should be, but I get it. Yeah.
And I don't think, as an immigrant myself, I don't think we question the our desire and our commitment right. to humanity and helping people in need.
Right, right.
But I think it's important to recognize that where we are as municipalities, we are bearing, bearing the brunt yeah. of the anger,
of
the frustration and of our communities
right.
because at the federal level,
right.
And again, both parties, Democrat and Republican, have not moved forward
right.
in some type of immigration reform. And so there's
right.
been a lot of gridlock, and everybody plays,
yeah.
you know, this political, you know, political punting, and everybody suffers.
Right.
And so I think that from a local municipality standpoint, these are nonpartisan seats.
Right.
We are elected right. to serve the community and make sure that our streets are paved and we have, you know, lights and we are taking care of our residents. And so this situation where our residents are saying, hey, what are you doing? There's people that are not getting the due process.
Right.
Absolutely, we are concerned about that.
Right.
But I think it's important for the community to understand and that within our purview, there is only so much we can do.
Yeah. You're taking the brunt because you're you're visible and you're reachable because you guys are good at answering everything else on there. But you know what? The thing is, you know, one of your colleagues says silence is complicity. And I couldn't disagree more because some of the times to say certain things is even worse. You know, you can make things worse. Our a couple of days afterwards, even our local editor, Eric Pierce from the Downey Patriot, puts it on social media. Where are you guys? Where's our Downey Council on this? And so forth. Well, why? Why do you have to answer to every single thing? Especially if it doesn't impact Downey residents. Now, it started getting a couple you know, raids or a couple of people taken up. But, you know, what is it that you're supposed to say? You have empathy. You have compassion. You want to make sure they're lawful and they're legal. But you can't get out there. I'm always amazed at people that go in front of, you know, somebody with automatic weapons with their phone two feet away from their face and they start pushing and then they're like, wow, I got arrested. That's because you can't touch a federal officer, you know. So anyways, you guys have been taking the heat on a lot of these things, and I think it riles people up. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about social media. Somebody came to the council meeting, accused you guys of lying because you guys issued a press release that the embassy suites, that the ICE was not staying there. They were not staying there. There was a social media post that ICE is there. So what happens? Embassy suites and businesses around there, they get protested on for 2 or 3 days mm-hmm. when they have nothing to do with that. So that's the shame of this. Don't let the rumors get in the way of the facts. And silence is not complicity. Silence is proper at the right amount of times to do that on there. So spreading gossip, spreading rumors, being flamethrowers, you know, a council meeting wasted a lot of people's time by calling for a special meeting. And that was for a show to throw things out there at a council meeting. No, I demand that. He was rude to you. I thought it was embarrassing that somebody Mayor Pro Tem, she was acting mayor, Dorothy Pemberton, saying, we're going to talk about this at the end. We have business to conduct. And he insisted on cutting through and getting a day. It's like, come on, man, grow up. I know your audience was there at that time, and that's what you wanted to do. So it was. I was embarrassed as a former mayor that the acting mayor was being treated that way. And so, okay, I got off my high horse on there. But you know what, though? At least have common sense, the same thing that you're demanding to do, okay? And silence is not complicity. Silence is the proper response at the appropriate times sometimes to do that. So on Tuesday, you guys passed, you had four things to consider, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And the first one was whether how to give some money mm-hmm. to some food groups and to pay for legal defense and for workshops on there.
Correct.
On there. So tell us what you ended up doing. I watched it and I was real proud of you guys.
We ended up agreeing as a council to move forward with workshops. People in this age of social media proliferation and 2-minute sound bites, people don't understand. Right. And I don't mean, you know, to insult people's intelligence, but we are living in 2-minute sound bites.
Yeah.
If you don't get your information in 2 minutes, you know, people don't have that attention span.
Yeah.
So I think, unfortunately, we live in an age of disinformation and misinformation.
Yeah.
And so we needed to authorize funds for food and workshops. And the workshops are important so that people know their rights.
Yeah.
People know what they can, what they should be doing if, you know, a federal agent comes to their door.
And that's good. You guys have been doing that.
And we want students. I know that there's a lot of hysteria. There's mass hysteria because people, they, you know, are not feeling safe. Again, I have not seen hundreds, let alone dozens. I have not seen that in the city of Downey.
Right. Our police department has updated you guys, and I know they said the same thing.
So we approved $10,000 for additional workshops for our community.
Get more specific. It's 4 workshops. They'll be on Zoom, be available to everybody and anybody. And so, so that's a good, easy thing.
Three is for private individuals, and one will be geared for businesses.
For businesses.
Another one is we approved monies for our food banks.
Right.
We want to make sure that people that have some food insecurity can go to our food banks. The one at First Christian Church in Downey, as well as Desiree Rain. Does a very successful food distribution.
Right.
And then PTA helps.
Right. Three good local groups on there. Mm-hmm. I had lunch with Pastor Dan from Desiree a couple weeks ago on there, and he was telling me about it's just amazing what they do. We know First Christian. And Mayor Pro Tem Dorothy, who had served as president of PTA Helps in the past, it's a great organization that's more geared toward parents and families of the school kids. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of food. It's non-perishable, but it's a great program. I've volunteered there. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have. So I'm glad. And the amount was minimal. I'm glad you guys were restrained to seeing the need. It was like $5,000
each. $5,000 each. And we're going to monitor that.
Yeah.
We want to see who is being impacted in our city. We are a city of 114,000 residents.
Right.
And we want to see real data.
Yeah.
Who's being detained, the numbers, what is the impact to our community.
Right. Now, the original thing was to pay for legal defense. And I heard the staff mention on there, the one that they originally had talked to had bailed out. They couldn't do that or something to that effect. But you guys didn't do anything on that. How would that work if it's one of the 20 families or somebody else that wants legal defense on there? How do you appropriate it? That's the concern. How do you pay for somebody's legal defense?
Can it be for me for
a certain thing? Yeah.
Correct. I think not having that particular organization be available to move forward with that was one of the reasons. And again, we really are trying to be fair. Right. And really look at all the avenues for our community. And
now, there have been a couple groups in the past. I'm talking about the last five, 6 years. When was a legal aid, Las Freas, whatever, that have been having different workshops throughout the city for immigration. You go there, you get a. So that's been happening for free from, you know, local lawyers and so forth, right? So maybe that's something that should step up now, you know? That's an opportunity.
That is a very good idea.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Can, and I think more conversations should continue to happen in that regard.
I'm glad. I mean, I feel, again, we have empathy. Folks, we're not cold-blooded, and I understand that. But, you know, they wanted $40,000 or $50,000 to go to pay this legal defense for, and I'm glad you guys asked, for who, what, what's it going to go for? We have a fiduciary responsibility to the residents of Downey. And, you notice I didn't even say citizens, the residents of Downey, which is a very important distinction on there because it's taxpayer money. And, and we, again, we want to help everybody can. So I think the second thing that you guys did was changing your policy on legislative thing, adding a line about wanting immigration reform and so forth. You want to
And I think to my previous comment, Mario, the last major immigration reform was done under Ronald Reagan, President Reagan,
1986.
And he provided amnesty to people that had been in this country undocumented back from 1982. What that ended up doing is really providing amnesty to 3 million individuals. Yeah. And the thought behind that was, again, laborers, workers in the fields. And so we have, but again, there were two provisions with that. People that have been here since 1982. Right. And second, that no employer should have undocumented, should hire undocumented individuals.
And you also couldn't have a criminal record.
Correct.
That was another.
And so, again, since then, we've had several administrations. It's been more than 40 years, and nothing else has been done. We have to remember that there are approximately almost 15 million undocumented individuals in the United States presently. 14.8, according to the latest figures. Yeah. And as of March 2025, 18.6 million undocumented individuals in our country.
Wow.
The very first state, currently there's 11 states across our country that have sanctuary, that have declared themselves sanctuary states. Right. The very first state that led that charge was the state of California under Governor Jerry Brown. He signed it 2017. Mm-hmm. It became law January 1, 2018. Who spearheaded that legislation was actually at the time, it was Senator Kevin De Leon. And so that was SB 54, if I'm not mistaken. And so here we are, fast forward all of this, people, and again, elected officials around the Southeast continue to lead with inaccurate information and give false hope and get our communities rallied in a way that is not beneficial to anybody.
Right.
Number one, this is above our purview. This is federal, right?
Yeah.
States like California that have those sanctuary state laws prevent federal agents from communicating with law enforcement agencies. Before there was that communication, before law enforcement upon arrest, they would be able to determine if you had this criminal record and that's how
if you're in state prison, you're a criminal. Why can't they go in there and get you and deport you from there if you're a criminal already in prison? That's the crazy part.
That is the crazy part. It's like, again, people perhaps don't understand that. And so they're coming to local governments, local, municipalities, and saying, do something, do something.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
To
your point, silence is not complicity.
Yeah.
We need to, talk to your legislators, because people say, well, then how can we fix this?
Yeah.
Well, the state of California, unless, and again, the state of California is majority Democratic.
Right.
Supermajority. Unless they amend that legislation, which then would go to Governor Gavin Newsom to sign. The illegal or undocumented community is super, super, super protected. Right. And so now the other thing I really want us to focus on is under President Obama, we had 3 million individuals deported. It was interesting because his administration expanded the use of a program called Secure Communities.
Yeah.
And those, they... That program, what it did is it flagged undocumented immigrants and that were arrested by law enforcement and they were deported.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was President Obama was from 2009 to 2016.
Right.
He was. So he was then deemed the deporter in chief.
Yeah.
Now, people say, well, people's due process, the undocumented individuals' due process are not being followed.
Uh-huh.
What is happening now, again, going back to the sanctuary state, California led the charge. After California, 10 other states followed.
Yeah.
And so they are protecting undocumented immigrants so that there's no cooperation, there's no coordination, there's no communication. So what's happening is you've got federal agents having to go into places of work, into the communities, because deportations were happening. In fact, to the tune of 3 million.
Right.
During President Trump's first term, he deported under 900,000, about 900,000 people.
Right.
And so, again,
the balance. There's got to be the balance on there.
I think we can't lose sight of, if you're here illegally, yes, people say, well, it's only a misdemeanor. Understood. Mm-hmm. But you've broken the law. You're here. You don't have proper documentation.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to live in Spain, maybe Italy. Anytime anybody wants to travel across the, you know, another continent, across the world, we need what?
A passport, a visa.
And
a visa,
and so how is it any different here? I think that we, the temperature has gotten so hot that people are losing sight of what the issue is.
In sanctuary cities, sanctuary state, there, for those that don't understand, so we can't go into a prison and get Mario Guerra out, although we know he's a criminal. He's in prison, state prison. So I committed a crime. I'm now in there. They can't go in there and get me out or cooperate. So what happens? They have to wait till I get out.
Mm-hmm.
So I get out yesterday after serving 4 years. So now I go home to Downey. So guess what? They now know to come get me in Downey. And what happens? They arrest me to deport me because I've been a bad guy. I've been in jail. And then what happens? They take my family or my cousin or my uncle there too, get caught up, collateral deportation, if you will. Wouldn't it have been easier to just give up Mario Guerra while he's in prison and cooperate with that? So that's the part that people don't understand. Now, we do. You guys were great in adding that we want immigration reform. Folks, some of it is low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
The DACA program. That's low-hanging fruit. If a poor kid came over when he was one, was brought here by his family, you know, only knows English, has been going to college here, there's got to be a path to citizenship.
Oh, absolutely.
And
no
everybody
question.
Has agreed that. You know, mm-hmm. President Obama did that, but did an executive order, which it rolled out wasn't legal, but then nobody went to the courts or went to the Congress to make that formalized. Even mm-hmm. President Trump said in his first term, I want to find a way to help this. Congress do something about it because it's mm-hmm. up to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember a couple years ago, it's been, you know, 6 or 7 years now, when then Senator Marco Rubio had the Gang of Eight. There was four Republicans and four Democrats that did really good immigration reform. Mm-hmm. And then it fell through because everybody wanted it as a political issue.
Yeah.
So we have a long ways to go. But you guys took a really good stand locally, just added to your legislative platform. Hey, folks, we think immigration reform is good. You guys agreed to that, 5-0.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yes.
So.
And again, I think, unfortunately, during these politically divisive and overly charged times, everybody wants to punt it, right?
Yeah.
No, it's a Republican. No, it's a Democrat. No,
yeah.
You know, it's, again, it's about being human. And, and we have to, again, bring it back to local.
Yeah.
And locally, we are a nonpartisan Absolutely. Government,
right.
Local, every city and every city should be.
Right,
right now, it is important that we remember Downey continues to lead.
Yeah.
Downey will not follow whatever other cities around are doing. There was a city in the southeast. One of the council members, had a video and inviting gangs to come.
MS-13.
That is outrageous.
Yeah.
That is outrageous and irresponsible. There's other cities passing ordinances that other people may be applauding. Ordinances about the face covering removals, and that is not within our purview. And one of the things that perhaps I've been criticized on Tuesday, I said it. If we passed it, it's just a rubber stamp, right? Number one, there's no way of enforcing it.
None.
But also, the damages. Our own police department, because they do have some undercover operations and that require their, faces to be covered, and so we have to be thoughtful. And again, we can't as elected officials make decisions based on whatever the. Whatever the mob, whatever everybody else is doing, it's what really makes sense.
Right.
And at the end of the day, Mario, we took an oath to protect and defend, and to really adhere to the rule of law.
Yeah.
And I think that in this politically charged environment.
Yeah.
Immigration is a very emotional issue.
Right.
And we need to engage our state and federal legislators, and they need to figure this out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to get on my high horse because you mentioned some other cities on there. There's, I can say this, you can't because you're an elected official, but some cities, look at the city of Huntington Park. Well, all the scandal that they have with their city manager getting arrested that lives here in the city of Downey, hiring a no good lawyer on there to defend him, it's all political. This guy becomes mayor because the mayor got booted out or arrested. So this guy that becomes mayor and he's on every TV station, we got to do this for our residents and do this and do that. You know what? Fix your city. Why don't you do the things that you need to do for the city of Huntington Park? I grew up in Huntington Park. I went to Grant Huntington Park High School. My goal was always to grow up and move to Downey, right? That's what we all aspire to. So I'm embarrassed for Huntington Park. So fix that instead of being on TV every night, putting down the rest of the country or other things you can do on there. I'm embarrassed for him. By the way, one of our constant, now that I'm on a roll here, I'm sorry, but said on social media on a Congressman Robert Garcia's fundraiser that he was embarrassed to be an American. And when he traveled the world, him and his husband would say, oh, I'm not, they say, you American? No, I'm Mexican. He said he was embarrassed to be an American with all things going on. No. We're never embarrassed to be an American. We may not like certain things happening. I didn't like certain things happening in the last 4 years on there and giving away my money, my hard-earned taxpayer. But so that's the thing. We got to tone it down, bring it down. I had to get my points in there because I got more frustrated thinking about it when you said the other city. That was the city of Cudahy. When the mayor pro tem says, come on, MS-3, where's the rest of my cholos? And where's the, really? That's what you want to say? She got a lot of bad media, but she made her city look bad. So was it better for her to have kept her mouth shut? Silence is complicity, Mr. Council Member? Anyways, sorry. So you've taken a lot of heat, and they've come after you personally. There's somebody here in the city, there's a handful that have taken to making AI videos. I got included with you, so did former Mayor Rick Rodriguez and Kirk Cartosian and so forth on there. We're just all bad. We're just a clan of evil, bad people on there. I like the Puppet Master thing, good AI stuff on there. Anyways, so what happens is this person, Carmen is something like that on her social media, the one that's got the middle finger flipping off La Migra, she's got a great picture on that, the one that flew the upside down American flag in front of her house and lives a couple blocks from my house. but did an attack on Claudia, because Claudia, like her political views before this, Claudia Fermenta is a good person, great family, has not done anything wrong. You may not agree with their positions, but they're respectful and they're thought out, and it's a classy family and classy people that mean good to public service, what her and her family have gone through for the last 6.5 years. But this one kind of crossed the line a little bit. It was a video done in your house at election night, and there was the election night when President Trump won, and people were being happy, okay? You know, the choice was, you know, pretty clear cut, and a lot of people, especially even in California, a lot of people voted for President Trump. That's their right. That's the American way. So there's this video, and now they're attacking her for this, with this video that was shot inside her house, for us, and with her daughters, and underage daughter was there, and some other people. And then there's some other people, I won't say the business on there, but they were there from business people that own several businesses here in Downey, and they were saying, don't eat at these restaurants. Come on, this is hard-earning, hard-working people trying to earn a living, and you're going after that. Now, here, they're going to say, oh, well, so are these people that got arrested, okay? I get that. I get that. And the thing that I don't know, I feel terrible, because if they're right and 100% of them are good, hardworking non-criminals, you know, what a shame. I don't know enough to know that. I'm not saying that, you know, that guy at the car wash should have been taken out, but I don't know that. The ICE went there because they had a warrant. So, again, all I'm saying is get information. Let's have empathy. Let's try to help other people and so forth. What are your thoughts on that video and that whole thing that just you've been personally attacked before, but yes, now this one's a little bit more egregious?
Yes, it is. And you know, Mario, really, I have so much to say about this, and I know I need to be maybe a little careful how I say it. But we are living in a time where, yes, democracy is at stake. I don't remember a time where people that voted for an opponent would be
ostracized
or really
attacked
with such vitriol and violence. Yeah. This is really dangerous, because this is really attacking our American values, right? This is un-American. I may not agree with everything that a president is doing, right? I respect the office of the commander in chief. I respect the office of the president of the United States. I did not agree with everything President Obama did. Sure. I did not agree with a lot of the things that occurred under President Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. Yet I met him, and it was a great honor.
Sure.
I may not agree with some of the things that President Trump is doing, but he is my president, and I did vote for him.
Right.
And so this particular video, someone that was here from Cuba, and is here legally, was very excited about. He had never experienced election night, and it was a private gathering. He took the video and uploaded to his social media platform to show people in Cuba, you know, communist regime. Mm-hmm. And unbeknownst to all of us, unbeknownst to us, his social media was an open profile. Mm-hmm. And while that video was uploaded back in November, mm-hmm. Somehow that video made its way to, you know, recently.
That person, you know, they kept going back a lot on all our social media platforms, because some of the pictures they showed of me in that video on there are 8-9 years old.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and
absolutely.
A lot of ours. You
absolutely.
Know, so I thought they did a lot of research. You've been on there a lot of
times.
They did.
And so, but I think what is really dangerous here is the message that is being sent out. And the message is, if I don't agree with you politically, I am going to incite such hatred and incite such, you know, violence. Because hatred in this vitriol leads to acts of violence. We are seeing that in the ambush that was done with these ICE agents in a couple of other states just this week. So I think we have to be careful. We have to agree to disagree without being so awful to one another. And I think what was really concerning to me is one of my children is underage. And there was a photo that was placed. And it wasn't a photo that I had on any of my platforms, by the way. It was, I don't know how this image was taken, but it shows her, and it shows her obviously without my consent, without her consent. Any photo that I post, well, yes, it's a public photo. I'm a public figure, but this particular image wasn't, and they were using it to go out also after them. And that is dangerous. And I think that as public servants, because of the times we're living in, these should be raising the alarm of everybody,
both sides. By the way, I didn't hear some of your fellow council people put that down for what they did there. Okay, silent complicity in that too, you know. And by the way, on the video itself, on the social media, that council member liked it. Okay, and I saw that. So again, it goes both ways. You're saying silence is complicity. BS, dude, you're doing the same thing.
Yes.
And if they went after a family, you should have stuck up for you and that family. My colleague on the council and her family are being attacked. That is wrong, okay? That's what should have been said from other people on the council, and they didn't.
Yes, and I think, you know, again,
I didn't mean to at you. I just excited there.
The difficult and challenging times that as elected officials we are living in. We are living in a time where if we disagree with X, we are being vilified and really shamed at every level. Because if the majority of a council makes a decision, whatever that decision, a policy decision, then somehow those decisions then are shamed publicly, not just by other electeds, but by, you know, higher offices. And when we talk about the importance of local control and cities being able to govern themselves, it's
yeah. And here's how the state impacts it too, by the way. And I've talked about it before, and the budget just came out for the state. Prop 36 in the state of California passed with 68% of us voters saying we want this. 68% against the governor's wishes. So it passed overwhelmingly. And it was something like ridiculous numbers on both Democrats and on Republicans to get to this. It wasn't just a Republican or a Democrat thing. So what happens is it passes. The budget comes out, and I'm purposely the proposition left the funding to the state because they didn't want to handcuff the state in how you fund it. So great, we're going to leave it open so you guys pick it out. And guess what the governor did and what the control legislation legislators did? They put zero funds in the enforcement of Prop 36.
What is Prop 36, Mario?
Prop 36 takes away some of the things in Prop 47. So in other words, if you're a perpetual criminal and you keep stealing things that are $600-$700 on there, it just goes away. It kind of goes away. You don't even get arrested for the most part. So you saw all those videos last year of the flash mobs going into a store, 15 young people grabbing, you know, big expensive purses and walking away. So those criminals weren't being prosecuted. If you had a gun on there, you weren't being prosecuted. There was all kinds of immigration reforms. Prop 36 allows you to, if you get busted for some of these things, it actually also offered you diversion programs to get it off your record. So it wasn't a lifelong thing, but it took away from you trying to do it again. Okay, what happened under Prop 47, they just kept doing it. Mm-hmm. Prop 36 has some teeth and says, you keep doing this, it's going to be big time, okay? But there's no way to enforce it now. So, you know what? Shame on Governor Newsom. Shame on the state. You know, it's ironic because I gave Governor Newsom some credit a couple months ago. When we were talking about the riots here in LA, and him and Mayor Bass were saying, don't bring in the National Guard, don't bring in the National Guard, on their things calmed down in LA after the National Guard came as a backup for the police department, like it did when the George Floyd riots. Mm-hmm. The George Floyd riots on there, Governor Newsom called in the National Guard. So did the state of Washington, Governor Jay Inslee. Our guard were allowed to be armed. Okay, and they were secondary. Police was there. Our guards were there, secondary. Remember the George Floyd riots? Everybody was destroying the city and the county. So what happened that day that they came in? The temperature dropped.
Yes.
Okay, and the National Guard even helped somebody having a heart attack on the freeway. Mm-hmm, they had all these good community things on there, and it looked great. What happened in the state of Washington? That those guards were not. They were just standing there. They were not armed, had no defensive capabilities. The city of Seattle was overtaken for 3 months with those things.
Three months.
So I gave credit to Governor Newsom for having the gumption to be able to do that. So now he's saying he didn't want the National Guard at the same time. So which side is it on there? You know. So.
Again, I think it's playing politics. Sure. I think to sum up, you know, the southern border crossings in 2024.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the last year of the previous administration, we had 2.1 million encounters. 2.1 million. And we were told again and again. And by the way, President Trump, that was one of his one of the platform issues that he ran in securing the border. So 2024, 2.1 million. Thus far, July just started. Right. So 6 months into 2025. We've seen a 90% reduction, 8,000 crossings per month.
Yeah.
So June saw 6,000. Right. What does that tell us? Yeah. The lowest in
May,
decades.
I saw one, and this was on a liberal news station. May 2024, I'm going to give you that picture, Brandon, so you can put this picture on there. Mm-hmm. May 2024, 50,000 crossings, 50,000. May 2024. 1 year later, May 2025, 2 months ago, zero. Mm-hmm. From 50,000 to zero. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what?
Yes.
So that's not even an issue anymore, you know?
Right. So, and again, I think people are running with all kinds of misinformation.
Yeah.
Because, and I was just watching CNN earlier this week, as a matter of fact. And CNN, you know, polling Hispanic people. Right now, you know, amidst what's happening in different places, including, you know, California, Los Angeles with ICE raids, still the by and large Hispanic voters who voted for this administration say they support enforcement. They support enforcement. And so I think, again, it's a bigger issue. My take is we will see better days. My hope is that at the state and federal level, that they will, one, they will do work to do better immigration reform. Two, that we relook at sanctuary state designation. And that people understand cities, when our communities are being rallied by individuals that don't have information, or maybe they do, they just want to rally communities to score political points, that as a local municipality, that is beyond our purview. And we saw that earlier this week when federal agents went into MacArthur Park in Los Angeles. And Mayor Bass is very close to getting arrested. And I think that if and when that happens, that is going to send a very clear message to mayors of other municipalities that we cannot interfere with enforcement of federal law.
Right.
And
right. Whether we like it or not, I mean, I don't know the purpose of the MacArthur thing. I'm not going to comment on that one way or the other, but you're right. She showed up. And by the way, I saw two of the videos that even the news media now is not picking up completely, how she came there and she got the phone and started talking. And the guy from ICE is telling her, we're done. We're leaving anyways, before she got on the phone.
Yes.
And then she gets on the phone and then she says, I told them they had to leave and they're leaving. Like she's taking credit for them leaving. Mm-hmm. And I just laugh. I've seen the video there when he said, no, we're done. We're leaving.
Yeah.
And then she gets on the phone. So she's a good politician. She's playing the politics of all this and so forth. But I think a lot of people are seeing through it. And then MacArthur Park, about a month ago, we went up to the Griffith Observatory and we came down with a couple of my kids and we drove down the street and we came down through MacArthur Park because I wanted to show them where MacArthur Park was. And because I used to work on Wilshire Boulevard, not too far from there. And they couldn't believe it either. Or the drug addicts, it was scary to go a block just
on the street. Oh, absolutely.
But she didn't say all that. Oh, there was a playground, there was a children's thing going on and whatever. It's like, what MacArthur Park are you living in? And did you go to? Because it's they have to walk over all the drug addicts. Clean that up first, yes. Mayor Bass.
I drove by that, Mario. I drove by that yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like I was in the movie World War Z,
you know,
that Brad Pitt movie that is like a zombie apocalypse.
Yes.
And I had not seen the level of homelessness and drug addiction as I'm stuck in traffic. And so I'm sitting there and I see individuals injecting themselves.
Yeah.
I see others,
8
you know,
feet
spasm,
from your car.
You know,
yeah.
Yes, on the sidewalk. There's one, you know, spasm. Others just twirling around and clearly under the influence of heavy drugs. And I couldn't believe that this is our normal.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be our normal.
Yeah.
But tent after tent after tent and not
those
one,
are somebody's,
not two, not
those are somebody's kids. Those are somebody's child on there. And we need to help them, but we're not helping them by going there and grandstanding against the National Guard or whatever it was on there. So, Mayor Bass, you got to do something about that.
And
I can't believe you're right. That's
absolutely. And so I think as we look at other issues and immigration is the hot, you know, topic of the day.
Right.
And again, I want to make sure because people, you know, take little sound bites. It is humanity and we want to show empathy. But we have very large problems taking care of our veterans and taking care of people on the streets, which, by the way, there is billions of dollars unaccounted for out of Los Angeles.
Right.
And yet we are, individuals are, communities are demanding their local governments spend money on defending undocumented
Look at
people.
The county. The county just came out. We're $1 billion in the hole on the county. But, we're going to do this anyways. It's like, okay, you're going to print on money. Same thing with L.A. City on there. So, anyways.
That's another topic.
That's another topic. Listen, I sure appreciate everything you're doing. Is there anything that you want to talk about from we'll end it now with Downey and a different way, a different direction? I see you guys had a full council meeting. I know you're repaving the streets. You're doing all the things local government. You're buying new fire trucks on there to protect our citizens on there. I know our police are getting more equipment on there. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts that you want to let the residents know?
Yes, I think, you know, Downey is a great community.
Yeah.
I am not deterred, and I am not I know that, you know, people have very strong opinions, but I really want to emphasize that being American is loving this country and having respect for our flag. And we may not like everything that our president does, regardless of which party is in power, but it's our duty as Americans to be, you know, supportive of what is of our the office of the president.
Yeah.
We have other avenues to demand that Congress and legislators do change, but we have to remember that being American is not going after people because they disagree with you and, okay. and wanting to cancel them. And one thing I do want to mention before we leave is let's respect our flag. I do have a really big issue when people fly the flag upside down. We are not in duress.
No.
We are the United States of America, and we are a melting pot. But this is America, and this is why we came, and this is why we're here, and we are a land of opportunity. Let's remember that. There's so many that have died to protect these freedoms, and I don't think people quite understand that.
Yeah, we're a great country today. We're going to be a great country tomorrow. We're going to be a great country next week. And I think we got to remember that. There are things might happen that we don't like, but we're still going to be a great country.
Absolutely. So, thank you for having me, Mario.
No, we really appreciate it. Enjoyed it. So listen, folks, I hope you enjoyed our episode on there. Feel free to contact me at any time. I'd like to hear your comments and your thoughts. My cell number is 562-706-4114, 562-706-4114, and my email address, mario@garains.com. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Talking Downey.